Without love, there is nothing. The world of man has lost an awareness, an understanding, a relationship to God's love. Without restoration, an awareness and a relationship with that love, the world certainly perishes. We see conflicts on every hand. Human beings pitted against human beings. Ideas, beliefs, opinions, as well as physically speaking. All this is simply an evidence of the absence of love. In love, there is no conflict. There is no competition. In the sense in which human beings know it in the world, in love is harmony, peace, creative achievement. If we behold on every hand turmoil and conflict, we behold on every hand the evidence of man's separation from God's love. From our standpoint, we recognize that God's will is that the world should be restored to Him, to love. Our purpose is to play our part in making this possible. We certainly do not imagine that as human beings we can accomplish this purpose. But in the wisdom and the strength of the Lord, it can be done. Not through us alone, but we, as well as others, have an essential part to play. God's love tends to be seen by human beings as something separate from themselves. There is an intellectual recognition of the need for God's love in the world, perhaps, and human beings are inclined to pray to God that there might be an increase of His love in the hearts of men and in their affairs. But there is very little awareness, insofar as most people are concerned, that they have any direct relationship to the process by which this love may come. Presumably you have recognized that God's love comes into the world in its highest apex of expression, through human beings. If we merely expect God to project His love into the world through someone else over there, we delude ourselves. Should we imagine that such an attitude is prayer? Prayer is the means by which we ourselves assume the responsibility of letting God project that which is needful through us into the world. And how is he going to do it? Is it going to be on the basis of fanciful imagination? Are we going to fall upon our knees with our faces to the ground and maintaining this position assume that thereby something is going to be projected into the world through us? Something is either projected into the world or reflected into the world through us constantly on the basis of what we do and how we act. If we find that at any moment there is conflict within ourselves or between ourselves, we have evidence of the fact that we are not permitting God's love to manifest. In God's love is peace and harmony. Therefore, the evidence of the fact that we are truly praying and permitting God's love to be projected through us into the world is revealed in the fact that insofar as our own living is concerned, insofar as our own experience is concerned, we are not involved in conflict or turmoil. It is what is actually done, what the experience day by day really is, that determines whether we pray to the God of love or to some other God. If within the scope of our group here, we are not capable of providing God with a channel for the expression of his love in our immediate affairs, how would we expect to be of any help or any value in playing a part to increase the expression of God's love through the lives of human beings the world around? When it is done in a group, any group, actually done, then it is evident that there is a projection of God's love on earth. If it isn't done in actual fact, then there is no such projection. And God's love is not made manifest and is not being increased in the world of man. These are not fanciful things, imaginary things. We speak of our ministry as being a vibrational ministry. Sometimes human beings have used that apparently as an excuse for behaving foolishly. We must deal with facts. We must be concerned with what actually is the condition of the moment. If we are so functioning ourselves that there is evidence of the projection of God's love through us, because there is peace and harmony, the absence of conflict, then there is something being extended vibrationally into the world of man. God's love is being projected at this level of being, where human beings live. This is something that needs to be clearly seen, so that we may let the evidences of the absence of love pass away. They pass away when the evidence of love appears. They do not pass away so that there is a blank. If the situation is that the evidences of the absence of God's love passing away would leave a blank in you, they do not pass away. It is only when there is at the same moment the provision of that which is of love that the things that are not of love can pass away. Let love radiate. Here is a commandment. But how? By concentration, so that we endeavor to project a ray of love out into the world to accomplish something? Oh, no. The nature of love is to radiate. We do not have to make it radiate. When love is present, it radiates. If love is absent, there is no means by which one could make love radiate through oneself. It is a matter of letting it be in relationship to one's own expression of life. Then it radiates. And the evidence of love manifesting through human beings is the actual experience of peace and harmony. The actual experience of the dissipation of conflict and turmoil. Then there is love. This is not achieved by the endeavors of the intellect. As Pramananda said, in the world as it now is, there is no likelihood of intellectual starvation. There is, presently, very much physical starvation. And certainly, there is a tremendous spiritual starvation. Man has become an exceedingly unbalanced creature. He is bound and determined that he is going to achieve what he wants to achieve through the endeavors of his intellect. And it cannot be done that way. The superior human beings in the world today are those with great intellect. Their superiority in the eyes of people in general is based in the fact of their intellect. And it is not that at all which makes a person superior in the sense of becoming what he ought to be. To become what one should be, there needs to be balance. There is a necessity for developing the mind, yes. But if the mind is developed to the exclusion of the other capacities of being, the individual becomes unbalanced. Great intellects are very often the most unbalanced of people, and yet these are the ones who are supposed to be capable of directing the affairs of man. There must be balance from the standpoint of all the capacities of being. If the mind is to be developed, the capacity of the heart must be developed to maintain the balance. And the capacity of the physical body too. Body, mind, and heart should be in balance. That there may be a balanced expression of the Spirit of God through these capacities. The Spirit of God will not find pure expression through an individual who is developed intellectually to the exclusion of his other capacities of being. All three must be in balance, or that which is a balanced expression of the Spirit of God is impossible. There are those who have been inclined to imagine that to be dignified in life, you remember we were considering dignity last night, one must be highly developed intellectually. Some of the most undignified people are those who are classified as great intellect. And there are those who have imagined that physical labor is somehow undignified. I was talking to someone recently in Vancouver who was repenting, shall we say, of a wrong attitude. He indicated that he felt a terrible sense of shame because he had to undertake menial jobs to make a living. There is no such thing as a menial job. There are sometimes menial human beings, but it is not the job that is menial. It is the attitude of the human being. There is nothing wrong with physical labor. There is a very great dignity in physical labor. And in fact, until an individual has found that dignity in physical labor, he is unlikely to amount to very much, spiritually speaking. There must be balance. If one tends to say physical labor is somehow unworthy, but intellectual labor is very dignified, very worthy, that person is extremely unbalanced. There must be a balance in relationship to these things. When you have experienced, as I'm sure some of you have at least, a sense of worthiness in labor, I don't care what the labor is, physical labor, you have begun to find what it means to be spiritual. There have been those who have approached this ministry on an intellectual basis, and they tended to shy away from any necessity of work, physically speaking, imagining that they could somehow attain great spiritual heights simply by studying the lesson material and so on. But until they reached the point of realizing that it was necessary to take off their coats and roll up their sleeves and go to physical work, they never got very far. If they were not willing to do that, they didn't stay very long in their association with this ministry, because it requires the whole person, not just the intellect, not just the emotions, not just the physical body, the whole person in balance. Without that balance, there can be no true spiritual expression. It is bound to be a distorted thing. It couldn't be anything else. There is dignity. In physical labor. When it finds manifestation through a person, is balanced. There are those, of course, who have been laboring physically all their lives. They have tended to avoid mental effort. Well, such people are unbalanced too, of course. They need to permit the development of the mind so as to balance the capacity of the body. We recognize, of course, that there is the necessity for the right working of the heart. When these three aspects of the individual come into balance, there is the potentiality for spiritual expression in the true sense. As long as there is unbalance in the individual, the spiritual expression will be a distorted thing. It will not be the true manifestation. The reality of God's love will not appear. And without love, there is nothing. When God's love is projected into the world through you, because you have learned what it means to pray, then you begin to play your part in providing The only answer. The only solution to the apparently insoluble problems of man's world. But it is something that actually must take place in you, not just be thought about. I thank God for those things which have been working through you. And there is much. But there certainly is more required. And I would not wish any to labor under any delusion as to what it is that is required. That which is required is a balance. A balance in body and mind and heart, that the true spiritual expression of God may permit his love to manifest on earth, because you live. We see in this that prayer involves all these three aspects of being. Body and mind and heart. You can't pray just in your mind. You can't pray just in your heart. You certainly can't pray just with your body. But when all three are together in balance, then the reality of prayer begins to appear, permitting the answers to come. And the answer in the final analysis centers in God's love. When God's love appears, all the answers are included. Where God's love is absent, there are no answers available. Let us recognize that it is in the experience of our daily living, the clearing of conflict, the expression of dignity in life, a sense of worthiness in all that is done, that there begins to be the evidence of God's love made manifest. And we actually share in letting love radiate. Our great and wonderful Lord of love, we thank thee for our capacities to love, to express love, to let love radiate. We would so yield these capacities to thy Spirit that we may be restored to a state of balance, so that the balance expression of thy Spirit may move through us. Dissipating all the distorted patterns of life, all the conflicts and the turmoil, that the reality of peace and harmony may be known in us and round about us, thereby revealing the reality of thy love made manifest on earth. When thy love is made manifest on earth, it radiates on earth. and accomplishes that unto which it is sent, to thy glory and in blessing to all thy responding children everywhere. In the Christ.